So this shit goes to the sitter. So every once in a while, I have to decide once again what nusach we're going to be learning about. So I personally daven nusach ari. So I figure, you know what? Let's do nusach ari tonight. So we went through Maidani, chulu. So we just did Birchas Atar last week. So at least in the nusach ari sitter, the next thing is really three things. The first is a line that it says in the Siddur. It's not only Nusach Ari, but many Siddurim have this, which is to say, Hareini Mekabel Alai, Mitzvah Seh, Shel V'Yahavta Racha Kamecha. A person says that I accept upon myself. This is like, sort of like getting ready for davening. We'll see the sources in a moment. That I accept upon myself the Mitzvah V'Yahavta Racha Kamecha. That's one line. And then Matayvu, and then Adonai Olam. Okay? So those are the three, in Nusach Ari, those are the three sort of next little tefillas before davening really starts. So that's what we're going to learn tonight. The ending of those three things, of accepting upon oneself the mitzvah of V'hafta Rach Kamoicha, Matoivu, and Adonai Olam. And then we'll see if there's any real connection between these three things. All right, but we'll start from the beginning. So the source of such an idea of before davening to accept upon yourself to fulfill the mitzvah v'hafta racha kamecha, the source of that is from Arizal. So in Maroka number one, this is in Shar Kavanis. So right in the beginning of Shar Kavanis, Reb Chaim Vital records the following thing from his Rebbe. He says as follows. It's Maroka number one. Kaidim sha'adam yisadu tfilosev v'sakneses. So says Reb Chaim Vital, before a person begins to start davening in shul, the parshas hakeda ve'elech, saying nakeda, karbonas, before you begin to daven in shul, tzarech she'kabel olav mitzvahs v'yahavta racha kamecha. You have to accept upon yourself to fulfill the mitzvah v'yahavta racha kamecha. V'yichavin lev kolecha mibnei Yisrael kenafshai, and you have to have in mind to v'yahavta racha kamecha means to love every Jew, mamish like yourself. And so we'll go more into this soon, but the simple words are that by doing this is like a skula. It's like it's a skula to help your davening be accepted, because by fulfilling Havdar Kamaicha, then your davening, which you're about to offer up, is now interincluded with all the tefillos of Klal Yisrael. So v'tuchal ala samal, it'll be able to ascend v'lasis pri and to be productive. So that's point number one. So everyone should say, if you have to be makabel, if you have to rekamecha before davening. Ubefrat, said Rav Chaim Vital, specifically, ahavas chaverim ha'iskim b'tar b'yachad, specifically, let's say, chaverim that learn together. Tzarech kol echa b'echa lich l'atzmai, kilu ever echa min ha'chaverim shalai. Specifically, he's now broadening, besides before davening, just in general, whenever there's a chabur of Yidden that learn together, it's specifically important that they should be mechazik bin avavas Yisrael amongst themselves, to mamish see each one of them as if they're a limb of the same body. Ubefrat, and specifically, im yesh l'adam yidias v'asogas l'das u'l'hakir b'chinas ha'neshama. And specifically, if we're talking about people that understand, like neshamas, that see Yidden, as the neshama, then it's much more, then they're even more so responsible to see each other like that, to see themselves with their friends as mamish one entity, one body, because that's really the truth in terms of the neshama. When, for all of us that we look at another Jew, we see a body, so you have to sort of get over that to think of Yidden as being connected. But if you if you're like a makobel, like a Reb Chaim Vital, and you see neshamas anyway, so all the more so you have to do that. So v'miyesh is a chaver mehem b'tzara, and so he gives an example. Let's say one of the chaverim are going through something difficult. Tzrichim kulam l'shatef asim b'tzara. Each one is obligated to be mishtatef in the tzara of their friend, to feel their pain. V'chulu u'mo'id hizeruni ma'irizal be'inin ahavas acharim shalonu shal chabur aseinu. We'll speak about this last line soon, but Reb Chaim Vital says, and my Rebbe Darizal warned us very, very much about this inyan of Avos Yisrael amongst our Chabura. We'll speak about this a little bit more later on, but other places in the Kisferi, in the writings of Rav Chaim Vital, we find that there was a special hakpada that the Arizal had for strengthening Avos Yisrael, not just before davening, that we saw, and not just stam amongst Yidden that learn together, that they're friends, mechazik that inyan, but specifically if there's a chabur that are learning primis haTorah, that's incredibly important. You know, I guess once I mentioned it, there's the Rashash, Rosh Hashanah Rabbi, the great Sfarash Makovel. So he also had a close knit chabura of Tamidim, and they, in fact, we actually have historical recordings of this. They took upon themselves certain kabbalas amongst the chaverim to strengthen the sinning of Avos Yisrael. So I have over here, there was many different shtaras that they wrote up, mamish signing, and look at with the kinyanim, like a real the real deal. So to show the strength of Avos Yisrael amongst them. So again, you don't have this in front of you, but I just thought it was interesting to bring down. This is one of the nusach of one of the shtaras over the years that the Rosh Hashanah and his Talmidim wrote together. So it's a whole long thing, but just Rashi Prakim. It's just interesting to hear. So he says, L'shenichu kishbuk shchinta, okay, anachnu ha-chaveirim. He writes that us are chaveirim, chevre ha-nefesh, ba'olam ha-zeh, ba'olam ha-ba. We're friends in this world and the next. Ha-bayim al-chasam, all the names that are going to be signed over here. Nisvadu yacha b'dechilu rechimu. We are gathered together in this document with love and fear. Lamare says dam ahavas chaverim, to mix the blood of all of our chaverim together. Shal yikresh, that it should never congeal, should always remain warm. Ubanu l'haysef ala kodesh, and so on and so forth. And then they go through a whole list of obligations that they have for each other. So one example is harishin shavri. If one example is keezim ha'chaverim ashayu loy ben, any one of the chaverim that would have a child, b'chiyovim gimel chaverim chayzer chalila b'kol shu ha'ben. It's an obligation that the rest of the chabura should visit the family and visit the father, visit the child every night until the bris milah, and so on and so forth. And the night of the bris milah, the whole chaverim will come together to learn all night long in the schus of the baby, and so on. Other obligations, if one of them, Chas V'Shalom, gets sick, you know, there's another obligation over here that Nisvadnu Yachad, we're also coming together with an obligation that Bekol Taru Mitzvahs U'Maisim Tovim Shiasa Kol Echem Men with Ne'atzma, that each, any particular mitzvah, any particular learning that each one of us do individually, Bekol Life and Shiyah, whatever the situation is, She'ichoshev Kilo Asinu Kulonu Ke'echad, we're establishing right now, it's as if we're all doing it together. He says, we're not trying to say that the mitzvah should be taken away from anyone and given to someone else, but adarabba, we're all mamish one. Kiyim kavanaseinu, our intention is, we're going to be mezaki each other. And other examples like this. Happens to be most of them are more like morbid, you know, in terms of like someone getting sick and dying, what to do. But there's many stars that they wrote up. This is like a very special hakpada. In fact, there's a tradition, Chaim Vital writes this, that the histalkus of the Arizal, the passing away of the Arizal, was related to a little bit of issue that took place amongst the chaverim. There was a maisa. It doesn't say exactly what the details were, but something happened between one of the wives of one of the chaverim and another wife of one of the chaverim, and so they had some sort of spat. And Mimela, the husbands, not they weren't fighting with each other, but it caused a little bit of an issue. And so Rav Chaim Vital writes in his autobiography that issue led to the death of Arizal. So we're talking about, this inyan of, we'll see soon about it a little bit more, but this inyan of Avos Yisrael, specifically amongst a chabura that's learning Pnimus HaTorah, was seen to be extremely important. Again, al kedei kach that the Rashash, You're talking about a couple hundred years later, when he had his chabura, they would literally write shtaris. Like I said, there was many versions of this over the years. They would do it again and again and again. The mechazik the inin of Avos Yisrael amongst themselves. That's a tzizach. But anyway, that's the makar. Like I said, in the Sechari, that's the makar of you know, before davening. Like the Arizal says, that's a special zach to do before davening. Okay, fine. That's that line. The next thing is Matoivu. What's Matoivu about? So Matoivu is a hodgepodge of different psukim, right? So there's different, again, there's different nusachs exactly which psukim to say. But Matoivu lach Yaakov v'shkin l'sach Yisrael, right? So that's the pasuk in Parshas Balak, right? That was one of the blessings of Bilam, right? Blessing the Jewish people about the simple connection is Matoivu lach Yaakov. Our tents, Mishkan Sech Yisrael, the Gemara in Sanhedrin says that that's referring to the Beis HaMikdash. It's referring to Bate Knesset, Bate Midrash, shuls. So the idea of, we'll see in a second, but the idea of Matoivu is you're about to go to shul. So to be Machshev, then you're going to shul. So you say Matoivu, other psukim, Vani Brev Chazdecha, Ave Beisecha, Ishtachava, Behechal Kachacha, Beirasecha. I'm coming, Hashem's kind, you're so kind to let me come into your home, and I'm going to bow down, I'm going to serve you with fear. Something like that. Okay. Take a look at Maramaka number 2, just to get a background of it. So Maramaka number 2, this is from a sefer called Tikkun Tefillah. Tikkun Tefillah is it's like a commentary on the Siddur. So it's more like explaining like the sources of the Nusach, where the Nusach comes from. So instead of quoting each one of these Rishonim, he puts it together for us. It's a little bit easier. So he writes like this regarding Matoivu. Nusach Kotzer Murkav Mipsukim Nefradim. The Nusach of Matoivu is obviously, it's a short little tefillah that's built from different psukim. The Inyanai, what's the Inyan of Matoivu? So Netilas Rishos, Vuhormana, and what Matoivu is basically asking permission, getting permission from Hashem, so to speak, Lamed B'makim HaKadosh, to stand in a holy place, which is Shul, L'spal, and to daven. So that's what Matoivu is. So asking permission, so to speak. Knocking before you enter. Zman Yisaydai, says the Tikkun Tefillah, when exactly it was established, we don't know exactly. It has old sources, but we can't say exactly when it started. So for example, Esamikra V'ani Brev Chazdecha, the idea of saying that pasuk, V'ani Brev Chazdecha Ove Beisecha, before you go into shul, Hiskir HaKolboi, one of the Rishonim, already quotes that. So that's already early. For Rav David Avudraham, the Avudraham, which is also one of the classic Svarim on the Siddur. So in Hilchas Birchas HaShachar, he also records this idea. So Rishonim record it. And the truth is now he says it goes even earlier. Ube Siddur of Amram Goin. Historically, we have the two like oldest Siddurim that we have, that really sort of the Nusachs of our davening come from that, is the Siddur of Amram Goin and the Siddur of Reb Sadri Goin, right? So one was in Eretz Yisrael, one was in Bavel. But in the Siddur of Rav Amram Goin, so he also says, a little bit different than Araminic, but something similar. The Siddur of Amram Goin, Kosav, HaNichnas HaBeisakneses, when you go into shul, you should say, Omer Matoivu, you say the Pasuk of Matoivu, V'ani Brev Chazdecha. Ukiyot say, and when you leave the shul, there's another pasuk to say, says Rav Amram Goin, you say, Hashem necheini b'tzidkasecha, that Hashem, you should guide me with your righteousness. So it's like, as you go into shul, you say something, as you leave, that's what it says in the Siddur of Amram Goin, and the Avudraham says it as well. The Kus of Avudraham, the Avudraham writes, that the way the Rav Amram Goin says it, of saying these psukim as you go in, and saying them as you go out, Shebe'elu shnei hapsukim, but these two psukim, of Ani Brev Chazdecha as you go in, and Hashem Necheini B'tzidka Secha as you go out, is Nimsu Yudchas Tevis, is actually 18 words in those two psukim, Keneged Yudchas Brachas, corresponding to Shemoneh Esrei. So it's like a little tefillah by itself. As you go in, as you go out, it's a little tefillah by itself. So again, so Rishonim quote this idea, it goes back already to the Goyin, the Rav Amram Goyin, and Umach Zavitri, which is, again, one of the Talmidim of Rashi. So the Machzor Vitri writes, Sidra Psukim Kachu. The Machzor Vitri says a longer Nusach, but again, the same basic idea, which is to say these Psukim as you go into Shul. Vani Rav Chazdecha, Vani Tfilasi, Lecha Hashem Esrotzen, Matoivu, Samachti Voimimli, Beis Hashem Nelech, Sasa Nechem Limresecha, Amarai Hazina, Hashem, Ekshiva, Hashem Biker, all these different psukim. Again, all about themes of going into a holy place of a shul and also davening that the tefillah should be accepted. But again, that's the basic idea. So, Matoivu, again, this is probably the pashut thing that people would assume. Matoivu is, again, sort of asking permission, sort of preparing yourself to go into that place. That's called a shul. The issue is a little bit that that's not... if that's the inyan of Matoivu, which certainly it seems historically it was, then there's no reason to say it if you're not going to shul, right? So, like many Siddurim will say, by Matoivu, will say, you say this when you enter shul. I don't know if most people do that. I think most people, if you say Matoivu, most people just say Matoivu in the morning or whatever. They're not thinking about saying it as they enter into shul or to make sure they're saying it right before they enter. So it's a little bit fine. I guess on a simple level, you say everyone, okay, they're wrong. They just don't know what they're doing. Fine. People make mistakes. So, but we'll see. We'll see in the pnimius of it that maybe it's not so crazy. But so far we have two things that are sort of introductory things for davening. You say, to accept upon yourself the Havas Yisrael, fine. And to say Matoivu, to prepare to go to shul. So far those two things have nothing to do with each other. Third thing, Adonai Olam. So in Marmokah number 3, this is also from the Sefer Tikkun Tefillah. Now he's talking about the next sort of, you know, whatever you want to call it, Shira, to say before davening, which is Adonai Olam. So he says like this, U'machaber Ashira Zeh, the author of this song, we don't know exactly who it is. He goes on to say, to bring some proofs that it goes back to at least the Gaonim. So again, it goes way back, but we don't know exactly who wrote it. And he says some interesting ideas. It was Sefer Matan Moshe, and the Sefer Matan Moshe, which Talmid Shel Marashal, one of the Talmidim of the Marashal, so one of the great Ashkenazi Poskim. So similar Maralf. So in the Sefer Matan Moshe, so he says the following thing, Kasav B'Shem Rabbi Yuda Chassid. So this, again, not follow that. So this Matan Moshe quotes from Rabbi Yuda Chassid, was one of the early Ashkenazi Rishonim, that Rabbi Yuda Chassid said, Sh'Rav Sharira Goin V'Rav Hai, that Rav Sharira and Rav Hai Goin, who are a couple of the greatest Goinim, the last of the Goinim, so Amru, that they said, Kol Machavin Be'es HaScholas Adayin Olam, anyone that has kavana in the beginning of davening with Adonai Olam, Shushir No Meshubach is such a beautiful song. If you have kavana by that, Muftach Lo'esha Tfilas Nishmas, you're guaranteed your tefillah is going to be heard. So that's what, again, the Matan Moshe quotes that he from Rabbi Yehuda Chassid, who quotes from the name of the Gaonim. The King Kasav HaShla, the Shla writes that also, B'Siddur Shar Shemayim. Now says the author over here of Tikkun Tefillah, Vim Kabal Nekabal. No, if that's what they said, then we'll accept it. In other words, that's a lashon that you say when, like, I don't understand why that would be. Okay, kacha, if that's what it is, that's what it is. That's what it is. So then he's a little explanation also. Why is Adonai Olam such an unbelievable tefillah? You say with kavana, your tefillahs are accepted. Okay. In his explanation, U'b'shem Hagra Amru, in the name of the Gra, it's also said, Shetiknu Loimer Adonai Olam, that maybe one of the reasons why the minig became to say Adonai Olam lefnei tefillas haShachar before davening is before Shachris in particular. Ki Avram tikna, we know Shachris was Avram Avinu, right? Avram was misak in Shachris. Shahir Rishon, it's a mistake. Rishon dekara laKadosh Baruch Hu Adon. The Gemara says in Brachas that the first person to call Hashem Adon with the name Adnai was Avram Avinu. Oh, so if Shachris is Avram Avinu, so you start Shachris, the Hachana to Shachris is a tefillah, a shira, whatever it is, whatever you want to call it, that's Adonai Olam. Okay, so that's what it is. So these are the three, again, like I said, you know, in there's other songs that some people have a minhag to say before davening, like Yigdal, right? But again, like I said, we're going with Nusach HaRi. Nusach HaRi didn't say Yigdal, so maybe next week I'll switch to Ashkenaz or Sfarad, so we'll see. But for right now, the three introductory tefillah slash songs slash in Yonim to be Mechazek, whatever it is, that you go into davening with, at least according to Nusach HaRi, these three things, Mekabel Avos Yisrael, Matoivu, and Adonai Olam. Now, as I said, the Pashtas, those three things have nothing to do with each other. Mekabel Avos Yisrael, it's a Gevaldik Gazach, it's a Skula to get your tefillahs accepted. Matoivu is in order to prepare yourself to be in a holy place that's called Shul. And Adonai Olam, it's a Chash of a thing. Somehow, it's also a Skula to get your tefillahs accepted. Avram Avinu called Hashem with the name Adnai, so we say Shir of Adonai Olam. Okay, that's what's going on. Okay, so let's go back to the very beginning. Be makabel on yourself, avas Yisrael. So, like I said, in the Arizal, we find really two situations, I guess you can say, that by the Arizal, it was very stark, this inning of strengthening avas Yisrael. Very, very stark. Number one, before davening. That's what it is. And ad kedei kach, that Reb Chaim Vital says from the Ari HaKadosh that every Jew, you should verbally say, that's a very extreme thing. Usually the Arizal did not add a nusach like that. The Arizal explains the nuschois that were already accepted amongst Klal Yisrael to explain the Kabbalah of it. But to add a nusach like that, that's a rare thing. So that's a very strong time. And the other place, the other time that by the Arizal was extremely important was a chaburz of Yidden that are learning specifically Kabbalah together. As I said, that ad kidei kach, it was so important by the Arizal that like I said, there was by the Rashash shtaris that were made for this. And ad kidei kach, the Reb Chaim Vital says that since there was a little bit of a shter in that by the Arizal's chabura, the Arizal was nostalgic. So those are very strong things. But let's try to understand where these things are coming from. Why is Avos Yisrael so important? Why is Avos Yisrael so important by davening? And why is it so important amongst Yidden that are learning Pnimius HaTorah together? So the thing is like this. Avos Yisrael is always important. Avos Yisrael is always important. Take a look at Marmokah number 4. So this is a famous parak in the Sefer HaTanya, parak Lamed Beis. Over here in Perek Lamed Beis, the Baal Tanya is talking about the importance of Avos Yisrael and how Avos Yisrael is essential to all of Avodas Hashem. And you'll see in a second that from this framing of the Baal Tanya, anytime you do a mitzvah, anytime you undertake anything in Avodas Hashem, it should be with a strong sense of Avos Yisrael. You take a look. So he says like this. The context is that in the previous Kalpa Prokim, the Tanya was talking about a person who needs to work on I see you say humility, not so much humility. A person has to work on sort of disassociating himself or herself from like physicality a little bit. A little bit of precious, a little bit of separation from the body, things like that. So he says like this, Vina, they came hadvar manal, by fulfilling what we've spoken about until now, lias gufoi nivze v'nimas beinav, where the body is a little bit, I mean, these are strong languages, nivza v'nimas, that it's like disgraced and secondary, you know, at least secondary to you. And rak simchas le'tiyah simchas ha'nefesh levada, and your real joy in life doesn't come from physical things, it comes from the neshama dika simcha. Harizu derech yeshar v'kala lov lo dekim mitzvahs v'havzu rach kamach. Then this is a clear path. The more a person others, the more a person identifies oneself with the neshama and less with the body, the more automatically there's a clear malach to become an Ohev Yisrael. Right? L'kol nevesh miYisrael, migod l'akadim, big or small, to be zeichet Avos Yisrael. Why? K'miyach hasheh gufei nimas, is obvious. K'miyach hasheh gufei nimas, because once you look a little bit... I don't know what the word is. Your body is secondary. Since you like a little bit rejecting the body, and it's a little bit disgraceful to you, and what's your identity? What's the main thing by you? Is the neshama, the nefesh, and the ruach? Well, if that's your frame of reference, then when you look at any yid, even you could, it could be a small, a simple Jew, but as far as the neshama is concerned, you have no idea which neshama is high, which neshama is low. Every neshama ultimately is coming from a very high place. So once you're oriented towards focusing on neshamas, then every yid is chashiv. Then every yid is chashiv. Shekula mat'imais, all yidin ultimately are twins, so to speak. V'avecha kulanu, we're all coming from the same father. V'loch inikru kol Yisrael achem amish. And when we say, that all Klal Yisrael are brothers and sisters, that's literal. Mitzad the guf might not be, but as far as the neshama it is, mitzad sharsh nafshim b'Hashem Echa, raksha gufim mechulokim, the body separate. So v'lochin, therefore, ha'aisim gufim ikker, someone that makes the body the main thing, the nafshon tfeila, and their neshama is secondary, yi'efsho, it's his strong language, yi'efsho liyas ahava v'achba mitas b'neim, It's impossible for such a person to truly get to a place of Avos Yisrael. El hatuli v'davar levad. The only level of Avos Yisrael they'll have is an Avos Yisrael that's dependent on something. I like him because it's a mitzvah to like him, right? Or I like him because we're both Ashkenazim, or we're both Sephardim, or we're both American, or we both come from the same school, or whatever. It's going to be, you're going to have to come up with an explanation of really of why you like this guy. And that's not real Avos Yisrael. So the Baal Shanta said that if a person loves another Yid because there's a mitzvah to love him, that's not Avos Yisrael. There's, in fact, I've quoted this before. There's a maisa with the Baal Shanta that there was some of the Tamidim were sitting in a room and they were talking about how amazing Yidden are. They're talking about Avos Yisrael. Yidden are so amazing, skevaldig, they should get all the brachas in the world. And the Baal Shanta overheard this, whatever, from another room, and he came in running and he said, all of you be quiet. He said, you're being Ma'aradinim. You're awakening judgments on Klal Yisrael. You're not bringing brachas, you're bringing the opposite. They said, well, we're saying good things. The Baal Shanta said, you're saying good things because you think the Rabbanu Shalom wants to hear that. That's why you're saying it, not because you really believe it. You don't really believe it. You're doing it because you want to get in Hashem's good side. So it's like, oh, you know, Hashem likes Yidden. So if we say nice things about Jews, it means, and it's doing the opposite. So Baal Shanta said, but I, Yisrael ben Eliezer, I really love Yidden, and I really am saying, b'leivu v'nefesh, that all Yidden should serve brachas, and shefa bracha v'atzlach ad b'lidai, you know? And so the Baal Shanta was able to solve whatever problems these Talmidim started. But that's the idea. If you can't, real Avos Yisrael, again, if it's not, that's what Tani is saying, the more secondary the body is and primary the neshama, the more it's natural to love another yid. Because it's yourself. It's V'yad V'arach Mech HaMamash. But the more the guf is the ikar, then the more Avos Yisrael is more tully in something else. You have to find explanations. And then it's not going to be authentic. V'zesh amr hil lazoken, and that's the famous statement of Hill, al-kiyam itzazu, regarding the fulfillment of Avos Yisrael, that Hill said, zeh kol ha-Torah kula, right? He said that this is the whole Torah. V'idach prushu, and the rest of Torah's commentary, right? Why? He says like this, he gives two explanations, one built on the other. Ki yisoid v'sharash kol ha-Torah, what is all of Avodas Hashem? All of Avodas Hashem is one long exercise in making the neshama ikar and body secondary. That's what, every mitzvah you're doing, anything of this Hashem, all mesiras nefesh, it's all basically revolving around that. So therefore, since when a person makes the neshama ikar and the body secondary, the natural result of that is Avos Yisrael, without working on it, just automatically, because the same ahava that you have to yourself automatically then extends to every other yid once you see things mitzad the neshama. The Memela says Hillazak, and since all of Torah is about making the Neshama Iker, so Hill was able to have a chop. Basically, what's called Torah Kula Regalachas? We have the Rechem Eichel. The rest is commentary. So he says, Ki Yisoid Visharash Kola Torah, Hu Lag Bia Ulahalis Hanefesh Alaguf, is in order to make the Neshama primary over the body. Maila Maila Adikur Vishosh the Kol Almin. Until to make the neshama sort of to identify the neshama and to what it is to its ultimate source, and which is obviously with Hashem chelak elokami al mamish, and from there all yidner one v'gam, another point of Yiddishkeit, it's like there's two parts to Yiddishkeit. There's what's your job and what does that result in, right? Our job is to make the neshama ikar and body secondary through the effort that we put in through the 613. What does that result in? Well, that results in, says about Tani, v'gam l'hamshich arein tzayf baruch hu v'knesses Yisrael. The result of that is, how this works, the mechanics of it is not for now, but the result of Avodas Hashem is to then draw down Hashem's infinite light into the system. So Hashem, there's a certain level of Hashem's light sustaining the world, but the tachlis of our Avodah is in order to not just increase the voltage, but to shloik erech, disproportionately almost, like to return the infinite light of Hashem that was sort of hidden away in order to create a space for creation, to reintroduce that into the world. Right? Again, he's saying a deep and a very important point there now, just, right? The Arizal said that before creation, what was before creation? Or in life, infinite light of Hashem. But in order for creation to take place, what did Hashem do? Hashem concealed the infinite side of who He is. And now we have a, so to speak, a space in which there could be finite reality. And now Hashem constricts Himself to be the source for finite reality. What's Avodah Hashem for? The Tachlis Avodah Hashem is to, again, what we do is the 613, and make our, through which our neshama becomes primary and our bodies become secondary. But to what end? For the purpose of causing a chain reaction, so to speak, above, which reintroduces Hashem's infinite light into the system. So he says like this, V'gam l'hamshech arein tzayf baruch hu b'knesses Yisrael, which that's the purpose, that's the goal of Yiddishkeit, which is to reintroduce the infinite light of Hashem back into Knesset Yisrael. Knesset Yisrael means, it means the world, the creation. The world was created for the Yidden, right? K'man shukasu l'kaman, dainim makar nishmas kol Yisrael, l'mevi echad be'echad avke, in order that there should be dveikus, in order there should be that reality should be able to be dovak, to be attached with Hashem, but not just so to speak a low voltage or a finite aspect of Hashem's presence. Ein Tzayf Mamish, the infinite one Himself. But now he says, but here's the point: V'loy kishiyesh pirut chas v'shalom b'neshamis. But when, in order for this dveikus to Hashem to take place, which is the purpose of Avodas Hashem, then that has to be in an environment of achdus. He says the kutshabrichu leshariyab aser pogim. The Rabbanu Shalom's presence does not reside in a place that's damaged, in a place that's fragmented. Hashem is one, and therefore the space in which He is going to reside also has to be a space of oneness. So this idea of Yehavta Racha Kamaicha being the Iker, right, that all of Torah depends on, right, is twofold. First of all, just the effort in Avodas Hashem automatically, which is about, you know, making the soul primary and the body secondary, automatically results in Avodas Yisrael anyway. And second of all, for the purpose of Avodas Hashem, which is for Dveikus, in order for the Rabbanu Shalom's infinite light to fill the world again, well, Hashem doesn't reside in his infinite side, right, which is kivyachol more authentic to who He is, that does not reside in a place that's fragmented. What does infinite? Infinite mean that there's no, it's not of pieces. Infinite means one, right? Things that are broken down into pieces already means it's not infinite. Everything then has a beginning and a middle and an end. That's not infinite. So for Ein Sof to reside in the world, it needs the world to be a receptacle to that, and the type of receptacle, and the only way the world can receive that light of Hashem, which is what Yiddishkeit's about, is if it's in a state of achdus. This is why Avos Yisrael is so important. Al Kol Panim, what do you see from the Tanya over here? Avos Yisrael is always important. Obviously, it's more important. Any aspect of Yiddishkeit, both in terms of what you're trying to do, and what you're trying to accomplish, both are revolving around the Avodah of Avos Yisrael. What you're doing is an exercise in making the neshama ikar, which has to result in Avos Yisrael. And if it's not resulting in Avos Yisrael, guess what? You're not doing it right. And it also is for the purpose of bringing Hashem's light into the world, which will only reside in a place that's one, just like Hashem is one. The place that he'll reside in is only one, which therefore necessitates an increase of Avos Yisrael. And if you don't have more Avos Yisrael, then guess what? The purpose of bringing Hashem's light is not going to work. So nothing gets started without Avos Yisrael. So let's go back for a second. So if the Rizal said that Avos Yisrael is super duper important before davening and for chaburas and yidden that are learning Primus HaTorah, then clearly there's something more about Avos Yisrael than just this. Because if this is what the nekuda of why Avos Yisrael is so important, well, that's true before you put on tzitzis, it's true before you eat kosher, it's before you do anything. Like the Tanya said, all of you, like Hillel said, it's called Torah Kula Yidich Perushu. So what exactly, so we have to identify. So what's the nekuda about those two situations? So the truth is like this. Really, each one is different. Let's break it down like this. When it comes to a chabur of Yidden that are learning together, the Rizal was makbid, that they should be makayim the Inyan of Avos Yisrael, but specifically when they're learning Pnimis HaTorah together. Why? Like, why of all Why of all sections of Torah is that the most important? The explanation is as follows. We know that Torah is divided into four sections, right? Pshat, Remez, Drush, and Sod. Pshat, Remez, Drush, and Sod. Now, there's an idea from the Arizal, it's a klal in many places, that just as you have those four levels of Torah, again, starting from like bottom up, Pshat, Remez, Drush, and Sod, Pardes, so too you have four levels of reality itself. Four levels of reality itself. And again, these are the terms that the Rizal uses. Again, bottom up, is the lowest world is Asiya, and then you have a world that's called, a dimension of reality that's called Yitzira, Bria, and then Atzilus. Without going into specifics of what each dimension means, but generally speaking, those four layers of reality are divided into two categories. There's Atzilus and the rest. What's the difference? The lower levels, which are Bria, Yitzira, and Asiya, which correspond to Pshat, Remez, and Drush, those are layers of reality those layers of reality are called by the Svarim Alma de Piruda. That's a world of division. That's a world of separateness. In other words, that the way we engage with the world that we exist in is what? Is that there's us, and then there's a God out there that's watching and is, you know, taking cheshbon and creating and loving us and taking care of things. But there's us. There's us. There's separate things. It's not just one, you know, there's separate reality with a separate consciousness, with Bechira, Bechul, Bechul. That perspective, that truth, that is true on the three outer layers of reality, which is Asiya, Yitzira, and Bria. And since the world is created from Torah, so the three most outer layers of Torah, of Pshat, Remez, and Drush, those layers create, those dimensions of Torah create the outer layers of reality, which is, there's me, there's you, and there's Hashem. And we have to be good boys and girls, but then there's a deeper layer that's called Atzilus. The deepest layer of reality is called Atzilus. That dimension, if you were to enter into that space, so to speak, that layer of consciousness, that layer of reality that's called Atzilus, then what exists over there? Just Hashem. That's just Hashem. There is nothing else. That's the space of Ein Milvada. That's the space of there is nothing but Him. That dimension of Atzilus, that corresponds in Torah to Sod, to Kabbalah. So you have Pshat, Remez, Drush, that corresponds to reality as we experience it, which is a reality of separation, a reality of division, a reality of many, many people, many different experiences. All, you know, again, there's one God for all of us, but... And then you have Atzilus, which is the dimension of where all there is just one, just Hashem Kiviyachol, and that corresponds to the dimension of Torah, that's called Sod. Because of this, said the Arizal, if you have a Chabur of Yidden that they're learning Sod, the space that they need to exist in order for that to be authentic, they have to be somewhat existing in that space that's called Atzilus. So that space that's called Atzilus, that's a universe of oneness. That's a universe of oneness. So automatically, if they're learning Sod, then they have to be in a state of oneness. If they don't see themselves and they don't see the environment of their learning as a space of oneness, then guess what's happening? Then they are infiltrating that dimension of Atzilus with baggage from Bri, Yitzir, and Asiya. Then they're bringing their inyanim into that place, and that's messing up the system. And therefore, there's a special hakpada. Again, there's a general need of Avos Yisrael for all of you, Avodas Hashem, all of Yiddishkeit, like the Tanya said, Avada. But now you're talking about specifically learning a chabur of Yidden, learning together the Madrega of Sod. Well, that Torah that's on the Madrega of Sod, that means when any level of Torah that you're learning means you're going into that dimension. That's where you're living. So if you're learning Pshat, it means you're living in Asiya. You're learning Drush, means you're living in Yitzira. You're learning Remez, you're living in Yitzira. You're learning Drush, you're living in Bria. And in those dimensions, you have all the right to see yourself as something and your friend as someone else. You like him, you don't like him, whatever. Fine, because the space that you're operating in are the three outer dimensions of reality, where there's a tree and there's a squirrel and there's a butterfly and, you know, and there's this guy and there's a mailbox and there's many, many things. So fine, so I'm living in that space where there's many, many things. So there's many, many things also. There's Reuven, Shimon, and Levi. But if you want to enter into Said, one second. So now Said means that you're entering into a deeper dimension of reality. Well, that deeper dimension of reality is all there is one. That's Atzilus. That's Atzilus. The word Atzilus comes from the word, it comes from two words. Either it comes from the word Eitzel, which means next to. It's like, it's right next to the source. Or deeper than that, the word Atzilus comes from the word Netzel, which means to be hewn from, like a rock that's cut out of a mountain. When a rock is hewed out of a mountain, it's the same material as the mountain. It's the same material. So there's a certain level of union, even after it's hewed out of the mountain. It's still part of that. It's still, the metzius of it is still mountain dick. So that dimension of Atzilus is that if you're in that space, it means that you have to, that means if you want to learn Sadi, it means you have to be in that space of Atzilus, which is everything is one. So if you have a chabura of Yidden that are learning Sadi together, but they hate each other's guts, right? Then something's off. Something's off. Either they're not learning Sadi, or they're violating, so to speak, that space of Atzilus. And so either way, it's no good. Either way, it's no good. So there's a special hakpada. Again, this is the nekuda. So again, it's not a when it's an in of learning site together. Avos Yisrael is not just a side effect, conditional byproduct, you know, like a byproduct. Like in the Tanya, general Avos Yisrael for general with Hashem is somewhat of like a side effect, like a good side effect, you know. You're making the neshama ikar and the body secondary. Oh, memela, you love other yidden too because you'll see each other as one. That's a secondary component, right? Or the fact that the purpose of avodas Hashem is in order to bring Hashem's presence into the world. Well, and technically speaking, Hashem is one, which means that the space that He wants to reside in is also can't be fragmented, also secondary. But the site is different than that. The whole inion of learning site is to go into that dimension. It's called Atzilus, which is a dimension of absolute oneness. And so that you can't enter into site unless you have that. That's not a technicality. Without that, it's not site. Without that, you're not entering into Atzilus, which means that you could be learning sophisticated things, but you're not in that space. That's called site. That's not in that space. That's called Atzilus. So this is why, like I said, it was a special akpada by that. What about by davening? Again, so it's like this. So maybe davening is the same thing. So you want to go into that place of oneness. The problem is that it can't be, because davening is also made of four parts, which also corresponds to Pshat, Remez, Drush, and Said, and these four layers of reality. Karbonis, Pesukah de Zimra, Kriyishma, Shmona Esrei. The part of davening that you do enter into that space that corresponds to Said, is Shmona Esrei. So if you told me, if the Arizal said that before Shmona Esrei, you should have in mind to be makabel on yourself, Avos Yisrael, I'd say, yeah, that's for the same reason. Just like Chaverim learning Kabbalah together, when they're entering into that deepest dimension of Said, that deepest dimension of Atzilus, they have to enter, in order to enter that space, that means they have to come with oneness. So I understand. You enter Shmona Esrei is like that too. But we're talking about before Karbonis. Before Karbonis, You're far from Atzilus. You're holding, I guess we'll speak about this in the coming Shirim. But before Karbonis, we're not even holding by Asiya. You're talking about in the depth of the Klipa. You're mamish like in the sewer system, you know. So over there, you're very far from that space of oneness. But Afal Pikin, you have to be thinking of Yisrael. Why? So the Rizal did say something. So in Maromoka number one, he did give an explanation. If you take a look at the second line, so he said like this: V'chamin lev kolecha me Yisrael. He said you should have in mind to love every Jew, right, like your soul. Ka'yidei zeh talat tefilas eklul mikol tefilas Yisrael. V'tu halalis lamal v'lasis pri. Through b'makabel avos Yisrael, then it makes your tefillah connected to every other yid. And the Mela, the tefillah will go up and it'll accomplish something. So again, it sounds like a skula. Let me explain deeper what the Rizal means. you know, the I spoke about this right on Sunday morning by the Likutei Moran a little bit. The process of davening, you know, it's an interesting thing. Davening is interesting. The Gemara talks about, let's say, by learning, that there's a mile of learning barabim, right? But at the end of the day, even when you're learning with a rabbim, it's still the same learning as if you were doing it as an individual. You just happen to be doing it barabim. You know what I'm saying? With davening, it's not like that. Like, there's new things that you could only do barabim, right? Like Kaddish, Kedusha, Baruch Hu, you could only do barabim. So here's an akuda. When it comes to davening, what is the exercise of davening? The exercise of davening is allowing your neshama to ascend, allowing your neshama to reconnect to its source. That's the exercise of davening, to get out of the sewer system and to work your way up. In the Kisri Ari, we find that the only thing that is allowed to go on that journey is the Jewish people, is Knesset Yisrael. Or another word for that, as we mentioned many times, is the Shechina. Like you'll find in the Svarim, is that the whole exercise of davening is an ascent, is a traveling of the Shechina back up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Whatever that, we're not going into the technical details of that, but what that means for us is as follows, is that there's something about, maybe over the coming weeks we'll talk about this more, but there's something about the nature of davening, is that the essence of davening has to be an exercise and an experience of the Shechina. The Shechina means the collective whole of the Jewish people. That's what davening is. That's the only thing that davening can be. To whatever degree a person experiences davening, it's only to the extent that they're connected to this entity that's called the Shechina, which is the Jewish people. That's the only way davening works, whether we realize it or not. That's the way davening works. Therefore, says the Arizal, before davening, in order to allow yourself to truly daven, be makabal on yourself the mitzvah v'yahav d'racha kamaycha, to include yourself consciously with other people, therefore fortifying your connection and your identity as part of the Shechina, part of the divine presence. That's what it means. You know, what does the Shechina mean, right? So I mentioned before that there's different levels, kviyachol, of Hashem's presence, right? So there's the level of Hashem's presence that's called HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem is one. But there's a level of Hashem's presence which is called HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and there's a level of Hashem's presence which is called the Shechina. The Shechina means that level of Hashem's presence that fits in the world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu means the level of Hashem's presence that's sort of Shemaim. There's the light of Hashem that's in Aretz, and the light of Hashem that's in Shemaim. The light of Hashem that's in Aretz, that's called the Shechina. The light of Hashem that's called in Shemaim, that's called HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What is davening? Davening is allowing the light of Hashem that's in the world, that's in the Aretz, which is called the Shechina, to ascend and to reconnect and to become invigorated and energized by connecting to the light of Hashem that's in Shemaim. What is the light of Hashem that's in Aretz? Us. That's the Jewish people. That's what. Dig down deep enough into a Yid's neshama, and what you'll find is the light of Hashem that exists in the world. That's what a Yid is. It means the exercise of davening is the ascent of the Shechina to return to its source in Shemaim, so to speak. That is something that is only possible when it's a collective exercise. That's the only way possible. Like the Gemara says in Brachas, that a person always has to be meshatev oneself. You have to always daven b'lashon rabim in a plural. That's how it is. This is unique to davening. So what comes out is, this is why the Arizal was extremely makbid before davening, specifically to say, because the inyan of tefillah is only, the experience of davening is a shechina experience. And the Shechina means the collective whole of the Jewish people. Once we understand that that's the nekuda of what this opening line of Hareinu Mekabalai is about, then you realize that's exactly what Matoivu is about, and that's exactly what Adonai Olam is about as well. Matoivu Olecha Yaakov Mishkan Esecha Yisrael. The simple pshat of saying Matoivu is you're going into a shul. Shul is, that pasuk is sort of a reference to a shul, but it's deeper than that. The Tanya writes in the Likutei Torah, other places, all this form. Matoivu Olecha Yaakov Mishkan Esecha Yisrael. Mishkan Esecha Yisrael, Mishkan is the Shechina. In other words, the Inyan of Matoivu is not just talking about a shul. The Inyan of Matoivu is giving a chashivas and being machshev and saying psukim that are talking about the significance of the Shechina. That's Matoivu Olecha Yaakov Mishkan Esecha Yisrael. V'ani b'rav chazdecha ava b'secha, ishtachval b'hecha kachecha b'yirsecha. All the, in Tanakh, there are certain, like I mentioned this many times, that Tanakh is all code. It's all code. There are certain words in Tanakh. When you see these words, it's a code for something in Kabbalah. The word bayis, the word oyel, the word mishkan, the word beis hamikdash, these are all, malchus, these are all code words. They're all code words for the Shechina. Hashem's presence in the world, which is the Jewish people, that is synonymous with Hashem's bayis, with Hashem's mikdash, with Hashem's mishkan, with Hashem's malchus. David and Melech, these are all, it's all synonymous. Matoivu Olecha Yaakov Mishkan Esecha Yisrael, it's about the Shechina. V'ani b'rav chazdech ava b'secha, eshtachav al b'echa kodshecha b'yirsecha, Shechina. V'ani tfilosi l'cha Hashem eis rotzen. Eis rotzen. The Arizal writes in Shar Kavanis, eis is also a code word for the Shechina. Time means the Vilna Gaon said, "Bereishis Bara Elokim." The first thing Hashem created was time itself. Was time? Time means that which is finite. Hashem's presence in the world, which is the Shechina, that's called an ace. It's again, there's a sefer we have called Shari Oira, one from the Rishonim. So the Shari Oira is a sefer. He goes through all the like 10 spheres and different shemes of Hashem, and he goes through these codes. Like for he'll go like in let's say in the section talking about Malchus, so the Shechina, he'll go through in that section all the different words in Tanakh that basically mean the Shechina, just codes. Ace is one of them. So L'chashem Ace Ratzin, all these psukim of Matoivu are talking about the Shechina. It's talking about the chashivas of the Shechina. That's what it's about. So you start off being makasher yourself to the Shechina, which is then you go into Matoivu, which are talking about how awesome, how amazing it is, the presence of Hashem in the world, a.k.a. the Shechina, a.k.a. the Jewish people, a.k.a. me, after saying Harina Makabal Olai. And then you go into Adonai Olam. Now Adonai Olam is an amazing thing. Adonai Olam is not just saying the Shechina is amazing. Adonai Olam is saying is that so to speak, that light of Hashem that fills this world is in truth not a watered down level of Hashem. It's in truth the deepest thing that comes before anything else. Adoin Olam Asher Molach B'Terem Kol Yitzir Nivra. In other words, usually when we think of like Hashem's presence, so it's like, you know, in Shemayim, it's where, you know, Hashem is being Himself, and by the time it gets down here, it's like a watered down version. It's diluted, which means that the level of Hashem's presence that's in Oretz, which is called the Shechina. If there wouldn't be an Aretz, then there would be no Shechina. Like it would be nothing. It's all it is just a watered down version of its origin. So if you could go back to the origin, then there'll be no trace of any watered down version of itself. There's no reason, right? Says that Adonai Olam, no. Says that Adonai Olam, you should know. Even before there was a creation, there was still such a thing as the Shechina. There was still such an aspect of Hashem that was focused on giving life to a finite world. It was like the question is, that side of Hashem that gives life, that's focused on a finite world, is that was that the first thought Hashem had, or is that like Hashem has no choice but to do it, you know? Because what is Hashem else, like, what else is he going to do all day, you know? No, Adayin Olam Asher Molach B'Terem Kol Yitzir Nivra, that Hashem is called a king, you know. The Shekhinah exists before the world was even created. It's not the pshat that there was a world and like now Hashem has to like sort of like lower the voltage in order for the world to be sustained. No. Ultimately, that aspect of Hashem that enlivens the world, that's what Hashem was always interested in. That touches the core. That's the essence of what God always wanted. That's not a b'di'evit. That's not just I'm a watered down zach. That's Adonai Elam Hashem Malach b'terem kol yitzir nivra. Therefore, that's why he brought down from the kadmonim that if you say Adonai Elam with kavana, avad your tefillos are going to be accepted. It means because you're establishing from the very beginning of even before the beginning of davening, that the Shekhinah called Knesset Yisrael is not, it's not trying to travel somewhere which is alien to it. It's everything comes from the Shekhinah. Like, why did Hashem even create the world? Why did Hashem create Shemayim? The only reason why Hashem created Shemayim was in order to legitimize there being an Aretz. But it was the Aretz that everything started from. In other words, Adayin Olam Asher Molach B'Terem Kol Yitzir Nivra. In other words, what is Adayin Olam saying? Hashem created everything. Everything means heavens. Everything means Atzilus. Everything means the highest universes. And why did Hashem do that? It was Adayin Olam Asher Molach B'Terem Kol Yitzir Nivra. The Rabbanu Shalom's Malchus, that thought of Hashem being the thought of the Jewish people, the Shekhinah, of Hashem's presence in this world with its constricted and tiny voltage, that's what Hashem was thinking about in the very, very beginning, from which then emerged the entire system of the highest of universes, ultimately leading down to the revelation of the Shekhinah down here. It's again like we have this principle, Saif Maisim Shav Techila, right? Whatever the last step is, that's what you were thinking about from the very beginning, right? So you have this whole project. How do I know what your initial what was motivating you the whole time? Well, I know what's motivating you the whole time by what the last step is. Whatever the last step is, that was it. So the last step is Hashem's presence in this world. The last step is the Jewish people. That's not the last step. That was ultimate because it's the last step. That tells you that it's ultimately the origin point from which everything else emerges. So this is Adayin Olam. Adayin Olam Asher Molach B'Terem Kol Yitzir Nivra. L'Eis Nasa B'Chefzeh Kol. When the Rabbanu Shalom decided to create things out of, coming from that motivation of Adayin Olam, then Azay Melech Shmai Nikra. Now he's called a king. But he was always a king. The name of Malchus always existed. This is the site of Adon. Adon Olam is one of the deepest tefillos of all, because you're talking about how even before the journey begins, you're already identifying that this entire mahalach of ascending to Shemayim, this is, we own that, we own those properties. There's two ways to travel back to Shemayim as part of the Jewish people. You can say, listen, it's like, you know, there's going like a tourist visa, you know what I mean? You're just a tourist, and sort of you have to, you know, there's a certain awkwardness because it's not your territory, v'chulu, and that's one way. And so then, obviously, if that's the way you're traveling up, then guess what? The Sudden and the Eight Sahara and the other side, they're gonna stop you every checkpoint to look for your papers, and you're not gonna be able to. And at some point, they're going to find a problem. So what do you do? You say Adonai Olam first. What does Adonai Olam say? Adonai Olam says, I'm not a visitor here. What do you mean a visitor? The whole inning is because of me. There would be no Shemayim if there wouldn't be an Aretz. There would be no Malachim if there wouldn't be Nishmas Yisrael. There would be no revelation of Ein Sof if it wasn't for the fact that the Rabbanu Shalom wanted there to be a Shekhinah down here in the world. So I'm not traveling in foreign soil. I'm not going into other territory. This is mine. So when the cop pulls you over, he's like, "What? You said Bishvili Nivra Olam? I mean, you don't have to give papers to prove anything. Fuck care. You ask the cop for his papers, right? That's what you do. So that's what the Adonai Olam says. Memela say the Ga'ainim. If you say Adonai Kavana, it's the Vada, your davening is going to be accepted. Because there's nothing going to stand in the way. There's nothing going to stand in the way. This is also the name of Avraham Avinu. I mean, this is it's like what the Ga'ain said as well. Avraham Avinu, why did Avraham Avinu see? Avraham Avinu, we always think of Avraham Avinu as, like his name was Kir, was Makar of everyone, but you also have to understand that that came from a belief that Avraham Avinu believed in everyone that he met. Like Avraham Avinu believed that everyone was capable of hearing his message and on some level wanted to hear his message. That's why he was successful. That emuna, that faith, came because Avraham Avinu understood the side of the Shechina, and he understood that everything is coming from Hashem's presence from down here. Chazal, in fact, say this. Chazal say that in the beginning, Iker Shechina betachtoinim haisa. In the beginning, everything really started from down here. But because of the sins of the, you know, Adam and Chava and Cain and Hevel, so then this world became seen. Hashem's presence down here became seen as watered down, secondary, sort of a b'di'evit. Comes Avraham Avinu, and Avraham Avinu begins to reestablish the truth, which is this world is b'di'evit. What b'di'evit? If you exist here, it means the entire system above is coming from you. It's not just above you. It's coming from you. It's your sugya, it's your inyan. This is your discussion. This is not foreign, alien ideas. Again, that's the famous, I'm sorry, I keep on doing this. But there's a famous mice with a Berditchever like this, right? The Berditchever was once visiting Warsaw, I think it says in the storm. He was visiting Warsaw, and the tzaddikim were with him, and they're walking down the street, and Beryl was coming the other way. Who's Beryl? Beryl is the Eisvarf. Beryl is the no-goodnik of the town, right? He's still named Beryl, but fine. So the Berditchever sees him. Berditchever runs over to Beryl. The Svarim said that he picked him up, and he started talking to Beryl about like big inyan of avodas Hashem, Shemus Hakdoshim and avodas and big avodas. He started talking like Ilu Beryl and the Berditchever are holding on the same page, and the Svarim said the other tzaddikim over there were laughing, mamish laughing. It's like Berditchever, So Berditchever looked at them afterwards. He said, "Why are you laughing at me? You don't think I see that Beryl? I know I see Beryl, but I also see who Beryl really is. And these inyanim that I was talking to him about, they're his inyanim. That those are his sogyas. He doesn't realize it yet. But he said, but when you talk to Beryl about those inyanim, then that side of him, that shaykh those inyanim, wakes up. That's what Adonai Olam is, right? So you say Adonai Olam, that's Avraham Avinu. So you say Adonai Olam, it means really from the very beginning, you're establishing that the whole mahalach." Getting to Shemoneh Esrei, that's my jurisdiction. It's all coming from the Shechina. That's why the whole system was created, because the Rabbanu Shem envisioned me down here in this world climbing up. That's the only reason why it exists. So that's the inyan of these three things all getting to the same Nakuda. Again, first, Mekabel on yourself to be a part of the Shechina, identifying yourself as part of that construct of Hashem's presence in the world, aka Knesset Yisrael. And then Matoivu, you're now talking about how beautiful, how precious, how holy the Shechina is. But then Adonai Olam says, not only is it holy and precious and special, the whole system from above was in truth emanating and only was motivated from the Metzias of the Shechina that the Rabbanu Shalom thought about even before there was such a thing as Shemayim. Memela, the whole process of moving up is a natural experience of just discovering what you have in your own bank account. That's what the Adonai Olam is. And Memela, from there, now you can begin going up with David. Okay.